The next few weeks were uneventful, and I had little to do beyond stand my watches, help dance the slaves, and continue the instruction of Lady Caroline Lamb, until one morning I learned that we were out of the Atlantic and into the Caribbean. Now, a change came over the ship. Each day, there was gun drill, and a growing restlessness among the hands, who now kept watching the horizon. Either Spring or Sullivan was always at the rail with the glass, and whenever a large sail was sighted, Spring would have the guns shotted and their crews standing by. As the weather grew even hotter, tempers got shorter. The stench from the slave deck was choking in its foulness, and even the constant moaning of the cargo seemed to me to have taken on a deeper, more sinister note. Only 5 perished in our ship, but this was the time, I learned, when slave mutinies broke out as more died and others became sullen and desperate. I kept as well away from the glowering black brutes as I could. Even the sharks which followed the ship didn't look more dangerous. Then, on the last week's run along the old Spanish main, the Mosquito Coast showed on our port beam. A more godforsaken shore even than the one we had left in Africa. Its heavy air lay on the ship like a blanket. The pitch bubbled between the planks, and even the wind seemed to have come from a blast furnace door. By the time we stood into the bay at Roatan, in the Islas de la Bahia, off the Honduras coast, we were a jittery, sun-dried ship, and only thankful that we'd come safe through, with never a Yankee patroller in sight. We dropped anchor in that great clearinghouse of the African slavers, where Ivory Coast brigs and schooners, the Baltimore clippers and Angola barks, the Gulf Free Traders and Brasiliano pirates all rowed at their moorings in the broad bay, with the bumboats and shorecraft plying among them like water beetles, and even the stench of our own slave deck was beaten all to nothing by the immense reek of the huge barracoons and pens that lined the shore. One never dreams that such places exist until one sees and hears and smells them, with their amazing variety of the scum of the earth. Blacks and half-breeds, Rio traders with curling mustachios, pistols in their belts and rings in their ears, down Easter Yankees in stovepipe hats with cigars sticking out of faces like flinty cliffs, frog and dago skippers in embroidered waistcoats, and niggers of every conceivable shape and shade, everyone babbling and arguing in half the tongues on earth, and all with one thing in common. They lived by the slave trade. But best of all, I remember a big fellow, all in a broad-brimmed Panama, holding on to a stay in one of the shoreboats that came under our counter, and bawling up red-faced in reply to someone who had asked, what was the news? They found gold over to the Pacific coast. Gold in lumps as big as your fist. More gold than anyone's ever seen before. Gold in California.